I want to welcome everyone that is here tonight. I hope our ears and eyes and are opened, our minds are opened, because I think we're going to go into a direction that is well needed. We've been speaking about the anointing, about how important it is for us to have the anointing, what is it, all that stuff. But I want to take a step back further, because it seems like when God always brings us into a message, it's always the end first.
Yep.
Right. And then you fill and it then in.
And then he brings us to the very beginning at the very end. Yep. It's kind of crazy how he does it. But when we do speak the beginning at the end, everything seems so clear. Right. You know? And so I want to kind of go towards the beginning end and begin to understand why is it so important for this gospel, for one, and to understand how this gospel gives us the grace to be able to understand salvation. You know, we need salvation, but people think they obtain salvation by good works. They feel that they obtain salvation by accepting the prophets, or based on maybe what they did for them, and if you believe it, they're saved. But salvation isn't from works, but it is from works. It's from faith, but it isn't from faith.
A lot of people even rest on laws.
Yes.
They're saved by laws.
Salvation comes from laws, you're right. And salvation doesn't come from any of those things. Salvation is within. Everyone has salvation. I used to say, you just have to be honest with yourself. You have to be true, and you have to be honest. And most of the time, people can't come to truth. They can't come to honesty. And the reason is because we are surrounded with members. We spoke about members a while back, and how the members literally control our nature. And those members have consumed us within our minds. They created an identity, a thought pattern, our world that we live in, or our bubble, because we live in within such a small area. Maybe it's just so many friends, your upbringing, whatever it is, your world is small. If you think about it, how big is your world?
Yep.
Like, how far out do you reach within your world? And we live within that world, and we're brought up by that world. The people that we associate with ourselves, the people that you put yourselves in with, the education, the knowledge, the traditions, the religions, create each and everyone's world. In that world, they tell you how to live.
Yep.
And your mind is brainwashed. But salvation's inside of us. And this is the code that we got to break. We got to break open into this code. And it's called your subconscious.
Yep.
Or it's called Christ. In the Western religion, it's known as Christ. But some takes, you know, Christians take Christ as, you know,
Jesus
the
Christ.
Yeah, it's Jesus Christ.
The man.
The man, which then they say, you know, you read scripture and God calls it his only begotten son.
So they make it a deity.
Right, they make it a deity. And then that's translated in a certain way when God's son is really your subconscious that lives inside of each and every one of us.
Yeah.
That's God's son.
Yeah.
Which,
right.
Which is God.
But that makes you a begotten son, because that's part of God's family.
Mm-hmm.
When you enter into Christ, you become part of his family. That's where we talked about earlier about the adoption sons.
Yes.
Daughters.
There's a verse that I think we'll have Sam read, because one of the things is that we're all groaning inside. And let Pastor Sam over here read this scripture verse, if you got it up.
I'm going to read what the word begotten means first.
Okay.
The word begotten means brought into existence by.
Yep.
That's all it means. Brought into existence by.
And we are the ones who have to bring it into existence, and this is what the gospel is supposed to do.
Yeah, well, and God, when he calls him only begotten son, means he brought him into, just like we were brought into the same way. We're brought into existence the same way as he was. We were right. spoken into existence.
We're
no
and,
different.
And by having a knowledge of this consciousness, this Christ in us, this Christ conscience,
yes,
this Christ awareness, this mind of Christ, you know, I'm bringing all of them mean the same thing. The mind of Christ, the conscience awareness, the subconscious,
yep.
you know, Christ consciousness. It's all the same thing. Remember I used to say it's all a play of words?
Yep.
And then you got these divisions in churches because they
doctrines.
Call it Christ, they call it this. Then you got the New Age ones calling it conscience. We won't put any biblical words in this. We're just going to keep it all, you know.
Secular.
Secular.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We'll call that Scientologists, you know. But the whole truth of the matter is there's life inside of us that is groaning and crying out, and we're all in pain.
That's right.
We're all in pain.
That's
we're
right.
lost. The nature that we were born in is considered a sin nature. I don't like to say sin because sin doesn't exist until we create it, but we have been encamped with members. And these members are forces that we can't see by our eyes that influence our minds.
Correct.
And they've been there from generation after generation after generation after generation, but they inhabited our world.
That's right.
That we live in. So the world that we were brought up in, they already inhabited it. And they're the ones that actually really taught us and trained us through other living vessels.
Correct.
Whether it was our parents, teachers, coaches, friends, family, whatever
they
it might be.
They taught them, they taught us.
Exactly right. Exactly right. And the world is only so big.
Correct.
Think about how big your world is. How big is your world? And that world has actually encamped us and basically created life for us. When God is asking us to come into repentance, meaning start to change the way you're thinking and get out of the world that you live in and come into my world.
Right.
And my world is called the kingdom of God, which manifests his peace, joy, and righteousness. So you need to use this as a guideline to see if you're entering in. If your peace and your joy and your righteousness isn't guiding you into my world, then you're out of my world and you're in your world.
Correct.
So you got to find the peace and the joy and the righteousness because that's God's leading. That's God's leading for each one of our lives. It's a mystery. But your peace may be different than my peace. Your joy might be different than my joy.
Correct.
Your righteousness might be different than my righteousness. But the bottom line is it's leading us into his world. Is that what?
Is that his popular trail?
That's his popular trail. That's his popular trail. But that's his leading. Now, in his world is your life. It's like you living your life in your world that's already been created by your friends, families, relatives, neighbors, teachers, you know, whoever you were brought up in. That world, all those people around you, all that encampment around you, whoever was in your life to influence you, whatever teachings, doctrine.
You're living their life. You're living their words.
You're living, yes,
yes.
Their teaching. They're
teaching,
everything.
Correct.
You're living everything that they told you what was right, what was wrong, what was good, what was bad.
Correct.
You know, what foods to eat because in your world only had so much to offer.
Yep.
You know, all
yep.
that.
Yep.
And God is saying, you come into my world. And his leading is peace, joy, and righteousness.
Yep.
Now, this is where the warfare comes in. First of all, you got to be honest with yourself and realize that you are robbed from the peace and joy and happiness. Some people get to that place of contentment or they settle.
They settle.
They settle. And they say, this is just the way it is.
Yep.
They get weary. They get tired. But they cope.
They live on highs and lows. They live on highs. They get a temporary high and they live on it for a couple days and they're low again.
Exactly right.
Up and down.
Going here, going there, doing that, doing
trips, vacations.
But they're still they're still trapped in their world.
They're trapped.
But they give up the fight though. They just say, look, I can't go beyond this. So like you said, they
become a pattern.
It becomes a pattern and they cope with it. They don't even try to get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like the definition of insanity.
Exactly.
Is where you're trying to do the same thing over and over and over, expecting a different result. But they're not changing the way they're thinking, because we talk about repentance in here.
You can never get out of the world you live in if you get out of yourself.
That's right.
You can't change what is inside you until you come to this truth.
That's right.
It ain't happening. No matter how many things you try differently, you still have to look at it this way. You're trapped in a world.
Yeah.
You're trapped. Yeah. You're trapped in this bubble. And inside that bubble, you're trying different things.
Behaviors.
But you're still trapped in the bubble.
Correct.
You got to get out of the bubble. And the only way that you can get out of the bubble is this supernatural way of seeking this peace and joy and righteousness. You got to get this stuff in you. How do you do it? You got to start looking at your life. You got to start looking deep. You got to look in deep. You got to cast down the imaginations in your mind, because the bubble has created your mind.
You also have to start at truth. You got to be truthful with yourself.
All right. Well,
am I happy? Am I have peace? Do I have joy? First, you got to agree with it and say, I'm not happy. I'm not having joy. I don't have peace.
Exactly right.
And that starts with trying to get out of it then, because other people may not agree with it and they're still living that way.
Well, they say that they're content.
They're content. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they're content. Exactly. That's why I say. Yeah, well, fear is a factor that will cause people to backslide or walk away from this.
Yep.
Okay, and we'll address fear in a minute. But that's a good point that you made, because I've seen people walk away because they were afraid. But you also have to understand that the members, live in this bubble with you. And if these members don't have a house to live in, then they have to fade into the internal, I call it the eternal bliss. Or find another vessel to go into.
Yeah.
Jesus talked about that too.
Exactly right. So, but we ain't there yet. We'll get there.
I'm with you.
Okay? So we gotta break out of this bubble. We gotta break out. And like Pastor Tim was saying, that you have to realize that you got pain. You got to get out of that complacement.
Or here's a question to ask yourself to go along with this. Why do I do what I don't want to do?
That's the members.
Why can I control myself? Why do I have self-control? Why can't I even control myself? Why do I keep doing what I don't want to do? Why keep saying these things I shouldn't say? I keep saying things I shouldn't say, hurting people. I keep doing
they're becoming honest with themselves.
That's what I'm trying to say. Exactly right.
Well, they realize something's wrong.
Correct.
And that's a good part.
That's a good start.
That's a great start, because now you can begin to start breaking out of the bubble.
Correct.
You got to break out of the bubble. Now, the bubble controls your mind.
Yes.
Okay? And, you made that comment. Why do I keep doing the things that I don't want to do? Why? Because your mind is tormenting you.
Correct.
Creating imaginations. The bubble that we live in is what is creating our life.
Yep.
We got to break out of the bubble. If we don't break through this bubble, if we don't get out of this realm that we're in, then our mind will always have power over us. And the only way that breaks it is the anointing.
Correct.
The anointing breaks the yoke. The anointing is what allows you to see the peace, the joy, and the righteousness, and you guide to that light. You walk towards that light.
It gives you the awareness to see it.
When you start seeking, it gets brighter. The anointing gets brighter. We all have the anointing, but it's like this. The flashlight is on dim.
Yep.
Very, very low. When you're sick and tired, it's like the little light starts to flicker.
Becomes like a headlight.
Well, not quite yet.
At the end. Yeah.
You know exactly what's going on. But in the beginning, you just got a glimmer of light. And you just know that something's not right. That's when I say the anointing is starting in your life. When you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, that's God laying an anointing in your life.
Yep.
So embrace that feeling. That's not a bad feeling. A lot of people run away from that. lot of people run away because they're sick and tired of being sick and tired. You might have been sick and tired and then found some peace and then got sick and tired again and then found some peace
running
and then got sick
and
tired.
But
yeah.
You're going back and forth.
So they just know that. They know that part. They don't know, like, they know that.
Yeah.
You know you feel good one day, and the next day you feel like crap, feel good one day, and then when you see your friends go out partying, you feel great, you come home, your family's there, you feel like crap. You go out to the, you know, party again. It's like a never-ending pattern. It never stops.
Right.
Ups, downs.
Dale Jones.
I got a testimony
about that exact situation. So, all right, we'll save it. So when we come to that place, but it's also an increase of the anointing too, because we're changed from glory to glory. So you might continuing to be aggressively going forward, but you always seem to get to that point where you're dry or thirsty, you're sick and tired, you want change. I look at that as just you pressing to another level,
like,
of glory.
It's like your end comes the beginning again.
Yep.
Your end becomes the beginning again.
Yep.
It's glory to glory to glory.
But you're getting empowered.
Correct.
And when you're getting empowered, you're starting to chip at this mountain that you're encamped in, and you begin to start. See, in the beginning, you start looking at what is robbing your peace and joy and happiness, okay, and your righteousness. So you start eliminating these things. Until you think that you got most of it going on. You know, it's almost like, what do you want? And all, and then you obtain these things. And then next thing you know, it's not exactly what you wanted. And then you get back down to that place of, oh, what do I want? What do I want? And then you get to that point of being honest with yourself. And you reach for that place of peace and joy and righteousness. You get it and all that. But the real part is there are strong men. Of members. There are strong members that live inside of us. In the beginning,
the
beginning?
The weaker ones?
Yeah.
That you overcome them first?
Yeah, exactly right.
Before you get to the strong man who's
right.
The root of the whole thing.
Yeah. And they're the real tough ones that you got to come to.
Yep.
And if you don't come to those tough ones, if you don't come to that truth, okay, they control the whole house.
Yep. Right.
Okay, and they actually invite these little guys back in.
And they'll bring more.
So you're never getting out, and you're always, I call, cursed.
Yeah.
You're always cursed. Yeah. You never have the curse broken in your life.
True.
You got to come to truth, and the truth is what sets you free. But the truth is different for everyone.
Each person.
For everyone. The truth is different with everyone.
But it's still universal.
And it is universal.
Correct. It's the same for everyone, but it's different from everyone because it's personal. You have your personal things you're doing. You have your personal issues you're going through. So it's the truth is always the same, but your circumstances are different.
Exactly right.
But it's always the same truth. And when you take this truth and start applying it and start really applying it, that's when you start developing self-control.
But the truth is not book taught.
No, it's not.
The truth is looking inside and finding out what you really want.
Correct.
Now the truth is given, has been given through revelation.
Yeah.
And that truth has been given in this ministry over a bunch of CDs.
Many,
so there's a lot of truths in these CDs, and if you apply these truths, start listening to them and applying them, it starts giving you self-control.
Mm-hmm.
This is the beginning. Self-control is first by truth. You start applying these truths to why do I do what I don't want to do? It starts giving you the power to start overcoming what you don't want to do anymore. And that's how you start applying faith without faith with works.
Yeah.
And that's how you begin right there.
Yeah, exactly right. And then it all compounds to grace.
Correct.
And we need grace. Grace is the knowledge or the mystery of knowing these truths.
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah.
And these truths are deep within, that is actually part of your life.
All the truth is already in you.
All the truth is in you.
That's what they don't realize.
But the truth is your life. And when you come to it, you realize that you're living a life that you don't want to live.
Correct.
And then when you break that off or stop doing it and repent, that's coming to the truth.
Yeah, because the truth is the life God wants you to have.
And
the
exactly
other one
right.
is the truth.
You're being changed in glory.
Exactly right.
God gives you glory.
Exactly right.
So you go to the next one.
So salvation is really being transformed
By the renewing of your mind.
By the renewing of your mind and having the mind of Christ.
Correct. Correct. The more you apply this truth, the more fruit you start acquiring. And then listen, repentance is a gift.
Yeah.
You have to have self-control first. And if you practice self-control, God grants you repentance. You basically change the way you think, and it changes your whole. It changes you.
But I want our listeners to understand that the transformation, the changing, the repentance is not good and bad, right and wrong.
Correct.
The repentance is the way you're living your life.
Correct.
It's like this.
Through the thought pattern of your mind.
Correct. It's where you come to grips with saying, I don't like that. Like living this way. You know, it could be like, I was patterned to do this, and it's not in me to do this. And you repent from it, and you come into what was really in your heart was saying to go on this path.
Exactly
so
right.
So that's part of the whole thing where you're
that's
being changed
repentance.
Into the image. Yes.
Because yep. what it is yep. God wants us to worship Him.
Correct.
And the only way that we can show worship to an unknown God, to a God that doesn't exist in the material world, is to obey His life.
Correct.
Inside of you.
And right. that life is inside of you.
Correct.
You need, and that life inside of you agrees with you.
Yes.
And it's what you
are.
Desire. Yeah. It's your whole being of full joy and full peace and full righteousness. It's yep. everything that brings hope and glory, because there's a praise that's yes. inside of you when you tap into this life. I don't know how else to express what I'm trying to lay out. And when you come to that repentance and you renounce the life that you've been living in the bubble that was encamped around you all your living days on earth, how the wounded and hurt people raised you. How wounded and hurt, tormented people surrounded you and instructed you. They put you in their own torments.
Yep, correct.
And their own miseries.
Their own anxieties.
Exactly right. And God is saying, break away.
Well, yeah, because you're stuck in a pattern. Listen, repentance is exact. The definition is this. It's a changing of thought that reflects in a changing of behavior. You're talking about the behavior part just being, that's just happens. And that's how you glorify God, by your behavior being changed. Changing the thought doesn't mean anything. Changing your behavior means everything. That's all that matters, is your behavior changes.
Well, you can say behavior.
Or whatever you want to, yeah.
But on the outside, someone looking at you might judge your behavior and think that you're still not right. Your behavior is off. You feel what I'm saying?
I'm talking about your behavior to yourself.
Your behavior
not outside. You see yourself change. Your behavior changes to yourself. You no longer do what you don't want to do anymore. No longer am I stuck doing what I don't want to do. I practice self-control. I've never overcome that. So I'm seeing it. I'm rejoicing because I'm seeing my life change. That's how you rejoice. It's inner, not outward. No one sees it. No one sees outward. It's an inner reflection of yourself.
Just a piggyback off you. When you change your behavior internally and you come out of that old person that you evolved in first, and you come into that new person, that's where that joy and that
and gratefulness comes, because
comes
you saw
a
change
a
in, you.
In you.
Listen, yes. I couldn't change before, and now all of a sudden I can change because it is truth. All of a sudden I can stop doing what I didn't want to do, and I can do what it's inside of me now. I'm following mm-hmm. a voice of peace. I'm following joy finally.
Would that behavior be what you might be saying is a form of honesty with yourself?
Of course. Yes.
So you've come
like
to the truth.
You've come
to honesty with
inside. You have birthed truth. You've birthed an awareness of God is for you. Mm-hmm. And He has shown you His power in your life. And now you are His, because He showed you He's alive and He changed your life. He made your life better.
It's like this. You've given reverence and honor to the corrupted life that you lived.
That you only knew.
That you only knew. And now you're coming into a glorified life that was already in you from the beginning.
That's right.
And that's where you're glorifying
that's
God
right.
and worshiping Him, because you're coming into
an inner praise.
That
you have to start there.
Well, that inner yeah. praise comes. Well, yeah. let me step a couple back, feet back. The bubble that we lived in, all right, was created by the opposite of what we really want.
Correct.
Because it was formed to destroy us.
By bubble, you mean behaviors that we live in. Yep.
Behaviors.
Our behaviors. How we live, how we decided to, we don't usually understand. Because we're going a little high here. We got to keep it level,
well,
you know.
Patterns, behaviors.
Correct.
Behavior. You know. But, you know, I like the word behavior, but I kind of don't like the word behavior.
Because it makes it sound bad.
It kind of makes it sound like our character.
But you're not saying works. You're saying your behaviors. You're saying what you do every day. You know, whether you're
why don't
feeding.
We just call it life? Yeah. The life that was already created that you created out of from other people.
Yeah. Because it's the way you think.
I'm using behavior because that's the technical term that everybody uses for repentance.
Okay.
As thought changes behavior. That's the technical term of repentance in scriptures.
Okay.
The concordance says, I'm telling you what they said.
Okay.
So that's what the world knows.
Huh? Just call it lost. That's why we're here.
Okay.
What's
wrong here? So our minds have a way of thinking, and it's structured by do's, don'ts, rights, and wrongs.
Yep.
You know, people make decisions in their lives based on what they were told.
I'm always told, don't do that.
Exactly.
Don't do that.
Right.
Don't ever do that. Don't walk on a crack, break nose back. That kind of crap.
You know? Because they didn't know who they were either.
Don't use credit cards. Don't use credit cards. They're bad. You know, that kind of stuff. Yeah. Don't put your money in banks. It's bad. Don't invest here. Don't do that. It's all their fears.
It's just that world that we lived in.
Correct.
So, what we're talking about is so well-rounded, and it's different for everybody.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, So I want our listeners to kind of just try to grab hold of the broad perspective, knowing that they are living in a bubble. The world around them told them how to live.
Yep.
Correct, yeah.
And no one really instructed us how to live.
It never bore fruit. There was never any peace or joy in it.
Exactly right, because misery was teaching us.
Exactly right.
Sickness was teaching us.
Right.
We never had anyone well in our lives that were teaching us. Them too needed salvation.
It's true.
Absolutely.
You see, so you had a lot of individuals that were just trying to nurture us. And if you think about it, it was all the members just empowering themselves to create more members.
Right. Killing us.
Yeah. Killing us. Because the ultimate job is that you don't have salvation.
Yep.
The ultimate spiritual job is for them to destroy you and to keep you out of the kingdom of God, giving you false hope, false peace. These are the false prophets that they say be careful about, you know?
That live in here.
That live inside. That tell us every wind of doctrine. They toss us all over the place by every wind of doctrine. And what we believe is doctrine.
Yep.
Yeah.
So whatever bubble you came in at, you encamped yourself, you created doctrine.
Yep.
It's your way, it's your world, it's your thought. And whatever you think and believe is it. And that's law, that's pattern. Is it right? Is it wrong? Is it good? Is it bad? This is how you judge it. Do you have peace? Do you have joy? Is there righteousness in your life? You might think you do, but what level?
Yep.
Right.
You see?
Right.
What level? I look at my own life and say in the past, I've always looked at myself as a good person. But at the same time, I didn't feel good.
Right.
I always thought I had peace. I was a happy guy, but I didn't have happiness.
I'll go back to a point you made a long time ago. You said this. You think you have peace. You think you have joy. Be late for work one day and lose your keys.
Yeah.
See how you respond. Get a flat tire and you're late for a meeting. See how you respond. There's something happened to your life that shows you off track, and you have already a set agenda, and it gets messed up. See how you respond, and you'll see. You judge yourself, lose your keys. You know, see how you respond, and start watching how you respond to certain things in your life. See how you respond, and you'll see if you have peace or joy.
Exactly
or not.
Right. If you lose your temper fast,
you ain't got peace and joy.
Nope. You know what? And it shows you how much in the world you are.
Exactly right.
You know, when those things happen, but when you're in that situation and you have self-control and there is some peace there, that lets you know that you're starting to find that.
Yeah. It's like, all right, Father, what's up here? Yeah. Flat tire. All right, Father, what are you doing? Yeah. Let's see what happens here. Yep. You're not upset anymore. You're like, And sometimes you're like, oh, I know what that, I know what caused that. Okay, all right, God, I got it. I'm repenting. I got it. I know. I know what this caused this. So you know, when you get a little spank, you know, you're like, I know what this caused this. I'm good. I got it.
Yep. And that's guiding and leading by His Spirit.
Yep.
But at the same time, it's time to break out of this bubble.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm hoping and praying by the end of these series, we'll understand why we're groaning. What is it that's inside of us that is like causing us to feel this pain?
I'm going to read it.
Yeah, you got it. This is the verse that we're like bringing this message about.
Yeah, this is it. It's Romans 8, 22 and 23. It says, "For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now."
Until now. Until now, meaning we're bringing and revealing the gospel.
This is the day of salvation.
We're bringing salvation.
This is the day.
We're getting you to understand salvation.
Correct.
And how to come to salvation. And to put it in a real nutshell, you got to be honest with yourself.
That's it.
Correct. You got to be honest with yourself. And break away from the laws and the patterns that are in your mind, because your mind encamped you, taught you, created you to who you are. And your mind was developed by sick people.
It says you have to live this way. You have to live this way. You have to live this way. You have to.
Exactly right.
You can't deviate. This is the way life is. There's no other way to get around it. So you have to live it this way.
And they instructed you and directed you and guided you.
They put fear in you about
it. And formed you.
And it was also created by offenses. Because out of our ignorance, we took offenses to things and stuff because we just didn't have any knowledge.
Well, remember this. You can repent in spirit, or you can repent in natural. If you go through the natural, you're still creating. You're creating death and the life of death. That's what they're doing now. So we got to repent in the spirit and create life.
Which is here. It's
correct.
In your heart.
We've been creating death because we've been believing these liars. How do you create life? Believe truth. Start applying truth. Believe. If you only believe, you're saved. If you only believe, you only believe.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Throughout your whole life.
Correct.
Yep. Throughout your whole life, that ever small voice speak to you.
Of course.
But it wasn't strong enough for you.
No one heard it.
It warned you.
You didn't hear it well enough.
Before you got smacked.
All the pressure. Small voice has always been there.
But the mind has always overruled it.
That's right.
Correct.
Reason.
And this is why it's so important to get rid of the mind. But has anyone ever been a victim of this?
Oh yeah.
Or know of someone who has been raised just like someone else in their life?
Every one of us.
Yes.
Everyone.
Who the heck
Whether
has
you
it?
Were raised up just like your dad or mom.
Unless you're raised by God and on an island by him and just him and you, how else are you going to not avoid this?
Exactly right.
We're stuck in a world that's controlled by these things.
Exactly right.
We are in this
world.
So
that's the point that I'm trying to create. Who raised us?
Yeah. Yeah.
Who was our major influences?
Who is the one who controlled our bubble?
It says someone's the father of this world. It says in the scripture that the father of this world is
yeah.
the father. He's the father.
Yep. So you have to look at what created you.
Yep.
Someone, something created you. And how are we created? By the thoughts and the patterns of our mind.
Exactly right.
Yep.
And then we entertain them.
Believe them.
And we bleed them.
And give them strength.
And gave them life.
Gave them power.
Gave them life.
Yep.
Within ourselves.
Yep.
We are living their lies.
That's right.
Correct.
We're living their lives.
Yep.
And lies.
Yep.
Yeah.
We're living their life and their lies.
Yep.
It's generational. It's generational curse.
Why do I do what I don't want to do?
That's right. So we got to take our mind and we got to cast it down. All our thoughts and all our reasons.
Yep.
All our traditions.
Beliefs.
All our beliefs.
Yeah.
We got to just take it away.
Yep.
We got to grab it, hold of it.
It's almost like starting over again.
All of our needs.
Cast down all our needs.
I need.
All of that.
Oh my God.
We got to grab it. And we got to like just rip it out of our minds, and then begin to start feeling. And then when you start to feel, feel it.
Just start being.
Identify it. What is it that you want? What is it? What is it? And then come to it. Come to what you want. Be honest. Now, when you start to come to it, if you don't have power over your mind, your mind is going to start putting guilt and shame based on the traditions and the knowledge that has been taught and ingrained in you since the day you were born.
And it's going to drive you.
And it's going to make you feel guilty. It's going to make you feel bad. And you got to remove it. You got to remove it. You have to find a way to remove the sickness that is inside of us. You got to remove it.
You know what helps? Grateful heart. Thank you for five fingers on each hand. Start somewhere.
Yeah, there's got to be worship. There's got to be a cry.
Got to start somewhere. If you have nothing to worship about, thank God that you can see straight. Thank God you have ears. Thank God you can hear. Thank God you have a sound mind. Thank God you have five fingers. Start somewhere. If you think you have nothing to rejoice over, you're wrong.
You got
to,
yep.
Did you eat today? Did you eat today? Do you have a roof over your head? Is there clothes on your back? You got to start thanking God somewhere. And if we didn't think of them to thank God about, then we're in trouble.
And thankfulness is part of humility because you're starting to be grateful for everything. And if you're not grateful, then it'll rob you. But you also have to look at the higher power, too. That's why we say, why God?
Yep.
Because God is the only one that will bring forth angels to war against the members.
Yep.
See, we didn't talk about the saving grace of angels. There are angelic powers. Some people just call it the Holy Ghost. But, you know, I'd like to just limit it to one big, powerful Holy Ghost. But I'm going to tell you, it's the heavenly host of angels. Oh, hallelujah. You know what I'm saying? And they are warring against these members that have encamped around your life and destroyed your mind, which has power over you. It has power over you. That's why repentance is so important. Repentance. We have to come to a place of repentance, knowing that we are subject to this evil, subject to this weakness. And we need the power.
You know, unless you repent.
Well, that's that broken, contrite heart. You know, you have to come to that place of realizing that you are nothing. And we need the power of God to deliver us.
One of the biggest strongholds right now in this world, before they come to repentance, is that they're in denial.
Well, that's what the members do.
They deny that there's an issue. They deny that because they don't want to look at it. They don't want to think that they have an issue or a problem or a sickness or they're unhappy with life.
Well, you heard the term brainwashed.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah. And brainwashed is very hard to convince somebody elsewise.
Yeah.
You're brainwashed.
Well, you remember, we've had ministry sessions where people be like, nuh-uh. You know what I mean? Where they're just denying. They're not agreeing with the truth.
Yep.
And they don't agree with it. So they'll never come out of that bubble until they start to actually humble themselves and look at it and say, okay, I do have a problem.
No, you're absolutely right.
You know?
At that point, there's a thing which I call possession.
Yeah.
When they don't want to come to the truth and they don't want to come and be honest with themselves, there's a power that is over above their will.
He gives them over.
They give them over.
Yep.
So now this member is overpowering the will of the individual.
Yep.
There you go.
And now it's a possession.
Yep.
You got to break that down. You got to build the will up. You got to enforce the truth. You got to bring that truth in. Get them to see it. Bring it in. Bring it home. Until eventually they see it
and
the will finally says yes, and says yes to the truth, and grabs hold of the truth, and then that truth sets them free, and the curse is broken. But in the beginning, you're empowered by a possession.
Correct.
Yes.
Correct.
And yourself. This is why it's important for the church, because we need one another. You cannot deliver yourself.
Correct.
Right.
You need someone else that knows the truth to empower you with the truth, to get you to be honest and see it.
That's true.
That's where he says, right. iron sharpens iron.
Iron sharpens iron.
Yep.
So that's where the importance of the church.
Yep.
But I don't want to really bring the importance of the church in right now.
I mean, well, you don't
because then people think you're just trying to grab people and try to bring them together and create this, you know, whatever. I don't want a church.
Are you any more elaborating on the angels?
But we are building.
Still going to go back to them because it says in the scripture that he's given angels charge over
us.
Everyone's been assigned angels in this book. Every single person's been assigned angels to be charge over them.
We have more angels that are given to us than we can even imagine.
That's what I'm trying to say.
You see, because we were saved by the blood, and we are clothed in the blood.
Yep.
We have to understand from the beginning the war was won, and that's why we got a second chance.
Yep.
But God put this on us to see if we would, who are we going to serve? Okay, and then we have to come to a place of renouncing the powers that are raising us. It's like this. This is the vision I just got. Jungle Boy. Jungle Boy was a regular child, but he was dropped off in the jungle. And then the jungle raised him.
Yep.
When they found him as a man, they tried to grab him, and he reacted like a vicious animal.
Tarzan.
He only knew.
He only knew what was influenced him.
He only knew what he grew up, what he raised up.
Yeah.
And this is the whole world.
That's right.
The whole world only knows what they were raised up in.
Correct.
They weren't raised up in this gospel.
That's right.
They weren't. That's why it's so important. If you have children and you're raising them up in this gospel, praise God, you just broke the generational curse.
Yep.
Yeah.
I look at my kids and that generational curse is broken. They're not being raised up in my sick ideology.
Yeah.
They're raised up within themselves.
Yep.
The truth that's in them. They're seeking out their own honesty.
Yep.
Their own truth.
Personal.
Yeah, it's personal.
Personal relationship.
Yeah, I'm leading. I got my personal. I'm leading them into their personal. They're not eating the same foods I'm eating. You see what I'm saying?
That's our job here.
They're not doing the same thing I'm doing. They're given a choice.
That's our job.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And live under that.
Yes.
So we got to, that's another reason why the church is important, you know, so we can break these generational curses.
But the church is the individual first.
Yeah.
Each individual is a church because God says, who's going to start a temple for me?
It's exactly like, right. Exactly
each
right.
Each person is a church. And we're building each individual up so that they can later stand on their own two feet and help other people build that church. Mm-hmm. And it formulates a body.
Yeah. Maybe I should call it a city.
City. Yeah.
We're not building a church. We're building a city.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we have many churches.
Correct.
Many churches. And you know, Pastor Tim is right. We're each as an individual a church, a sanctuary for God to dwell in. But beyond that, then there's the body.
Then
the body is needed because, you know, we have to fight in war against, you know, the members. Like, God will anoint one to be able to see truth in another person's life and then to be able to speak in those lives. Now, for instance, if I had a word that was on my heart and I saw something and I came to you and spoke into your life, you have the option to eat it and do something about it or spit it out.
Yep.
You see what I'm saying? But at least it was the opportunity was there. You know, more than likely, we trust one another. We're not going to just spit it out. We're going to chew on it, digest it, chew on it, maybe spit a little out, maybe eat the whole thing, whatever it is.
The other thing is, the members are going to want to deny it.
That's the big thing.
That's where the battle is, inside of that person. They got to say, okay, if it's not sitting right, is it the member that's disagreeing with it? Because the truth, you know, the truth will set me free if I agree with the truth.
That's where it comes back to that place of seeing the truth first.
Yep.
Applying the truth of self-control, getting that power over this thing, and then you gain repentance.
Yep.
It's a gift, but we have to practice self-control first. Remember when John the Baptist came to Jesus and said he's baptizing, and he said, "Yo, brood of, you know, get out of here. You come first, show fruit, and then come back.
Absolutely.
I'm not gonna baptize you now. Go forth and show fruit worthy of repentance. Once you show fruit." It's granted to you because you practice self-control based on the truth that you've been given. It's that powerful. The truth being given gives you the strength to self-control, and self-control will bring repentance on. It's a gift.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, but the first comes the self-control that we have to practice for truth.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yep. I think we're running out of time. I got the blue light. I think that means we're done, right?
Wow.
Well, I got 5 minutes.
We can close.
Okay, we got a closing. Yeah, I know. Time flies when you're into it. But we gotta bring this to an end. And my prayer is that our listeners really grab hold of the boldness that we're bringing across. Look, you know, I said this before to those that are close to me. I don't want to store my treasures here on earth. I'm going to store my treasures in heaven because I have an eternal life that I'm living for. You know, my life now is almost over. I got 30 more years or
life
whatever.
On earth,
you know, it's a blink. It's a blink. But my eternal life is really more important to me than anything. And I'm trying to create my treasures in heaven right now, more so than ever.
Amen.
And my treasure is you. If I can bring you into salvation, if I can get you, if I can just get you close, I'm getting treasures. Now, remember, you have to work out your own salvation. I can't save you.
Lead your horse to water.
But if I lead you, my treasures are being stored. You got to work out your own salvation. And the way you work out of it is you have to be honest with yourself. You got to get down to the roots of your inner man. And then you have to also war with the members that are in your head by the traditions of the bubble that you were brought in. And then, throughout your life, those members spoke to you and created an identity and created an imagination and formed life. Well, you gotta cast that life down. You gotta deny it. You gotta lose it. You gotta get rid of that life. And if you don't lose it, you're not gonna gain one.
That's right.
And so, you know,
it starts with questioning that life too, saying, like Pastor Sam said, why do I do the things I do? Why do I think this way in this area? Why do I always do this all the time
or
in
why
this area
why
and it's
do
not
I,
bringing me joy and peace?
Why do I do things that steal my peace and steal
right.
my joy? Why do I do things that do that?
Mm-hmm.
And
correct.
That's to stop, you know, you got to avoid that. You got to start telling yourself, this is hurting me.
Yeah. So there's a work that's involved.
Yeah.
You got to recognize the thoughts and the patterns. But now you have a good idea what and where these things are coming from.
That's right.
You know, start taking it personal. Stop blaming everyone and everything. It's the world that was created within you.
Step back.
You got to take responsibility of your life, your thoughts, your mind. And the only thing that's the outside forces, I'm going to say this, and it's going to sound like an oxymoron thing, but the outside forces are not what's stealing your peace and joy.
Correct.
It's your inside forces that are causing you to make decisions and do things and live a certain way
right.
that is stealing your peace and joy.
Right.
It's you.
Yep.
It's not everybody else.
100%.
It's you. And you're the problem. That's the bottom line. You're the problem. And you got to grab hold of that problem.
Yep.
And you got to fix it.
You got to admit that you're the problem.
You got to admit that you're the problem.
Admit it. I mean,
you got to admit it.
Listen, if you don't admit it,
you got to admit it.
And the other thing is, you got to come to the realization we all have members.
Right.
To some degree, we have some
type
of members.
We're saturated with it.
We're saturated.
Right. Everybody's living this bubble.
Yeah.
And we got to break out. Everyone is living the bubble, and we got to break out the bubble. The only certain individuals that are breaking out of those bubbles are the ones that are giving the messages. You know what I'm saying?
Are the ones that admit it.
We admit it. Exactly right.
And the other thing is, their biggest stronghold, the member's stronghold, is to get you to believe that they are you.
Yeah.
That's it.
And then you
need to change the way you think on
and,
that.
And to deny your inner feeling.
Correct.
That's right.
See, the yep. members that are encamped in your mind deny your inner feelings.
Yes, correct.
They tell you that you're not supposed to feel that way.
Exactly.
They tell you that you shouldn't.
They say it's a lie.
You're going against the pattern. You're going against the pattern.
Yeah, yep. It's wrong. It's wrong to feel that way.
Yep.
And I want to tell everyone that's listening, no, be true to yourself.
The way you feel is right.
It's right. And do something about it.
True.
Now, be careful because the members are strong and they react on your feelings. And they could be the ones that are making you feel that way. That's why it's important to...
You have to get a foundation of
truth.
Yeah,
you got
to
get a foundation of truth.
You have to get in this
truth.
Ministry because this ministry will give it to you.
You have to get that gospel.
Get on the website, but get in here better than that because without a foundation, you're going to keep falling over and falling over and falling over because you have to be constantly meditating on God.
I mean, there's more too. You need a witness.
Yep.
Yes.
You need a witness. You need an honest witness in your life. You have it in you, but you need confirmation.
To bear witness.
To bear witness.
Correct.
And when you're honest with yourself, you'll find out that the witness is really witnessing with what's really inside of you.
That's right.
But there's a power of members that are causing that witness to be quenched. And this is another message. But
we'll touch upon it
because there's so much that we can't give it in 30 minutes or whatever.
If you're within an hour of this ministry, get here.
Yeah.
You know, there's no excuse. I mean, no. We can make excuses on Sunday all the time.
Yeah.
But how bad do you want God?
Yeah.
Listen, and if you get here, you're going to be shown. We're going to see. At least he's going to see what's inside of you.
Yeah.
And once he reflects what's already in it, nobody knows but you, you're going to know God's real.
Yeah.
Once you have a witness that witnesses what's already inside you that nobody else knows, you're going to know that God's real. So get in here and let him see it. You know, let God show you.
You know, one of the other things that I want to emphasize on too is that when you have a ministry and a gospel that is really looking out for your best interest, hold on to that.
Yep.
There's no agenda here other than seeing you come to the fullness that God has for your life.
That's it.
That's our treasures. That's what I spoke earlier. I just want my treasures in that eternal life.
Which is you.
Yeah, but you know, to be honest with you, I could care less what you do.
Correct.
Have a party. But know that the guidance is for your best interest.
Yep.
And it's always truth.
There's no ulterior motive.
There's no ulterior motive. Right. Your members are going to say something different.
Yeah.
Oh, they're going to come up with a fight.
True.
But just trust the one that was sent, right? If you would only trust the ones that were sent. The ones that bear witness
what's inside of you. Trust them.
Exactly right. They are the ones that were sent. They're the ones that were sent. With that being said, God bless. Have a good week. Yes, let's give the Lord a hand of praise. And this concludes our Wednesday night service.